Let us open the Bible in Colossians chapter 4, verse 7. It's the last sermon on Colossians. Colossians chapter 4, verse 7. There are so many names here that I don't want to make this sermon to go too long. So what are we going to do? We're going to basically read sections. We talk a little bit about it and we keep reading and we talk a little bit about it so we don't stay here forever. Okay? Does that make sense? Let me check with the man. Is that good, Leo? It's good. Okay. Because there is so many names, I'm always thinking about you, Emmanuel. Are you happy for that? I'm always thinking about you. So much of the information we need is going to be on the screen to make our life easy. Okay? But before we go, have you ever heard this one? Because this is the title of the sermon. Teamwork makes the dream work. Who has ever heard that? Who has never heard that? No. That was one of the first things I heard in Canada. You know, when you're learning English, you want to know what people say. So teamwork makes the dream work. And as I was entitled this sermon, it comes from a Christian man, very famous, John Maxwell. He's a good guy speaking about leadership. We love him. So his quote came from him. It's from 2004. So it's been around for almost 20 years. Teamwork makes the dream work. The first information you need to understand this sermon, it's the next picture. Chana. It's coming. It came. Who knows this man? Who is he? Messi. Who doesn't know Messi? Wow. Okay. They say, I don't like it. Some people look at him and say, I saw your twin. I saw you, Gustavo Messi. And I'm way more good looking than him. I get so upset when people say we look alike. I wish I look like him in certain ways. I wish. And the soccer too. As you can see, he's with the worst jersey ever, Argentina. Ooh. If he was Brazilian, he would be even better. But why is he in that picture? Teamwork makes the dream work. We're going to see 10 names of people. We don't know much about it. We don't talk about them about it. We don't use their phrase, their quotation. But without them, Paul wouldn't do anything. Without the team, Messi wouldn't be Messi. Messi is good, but he cannot play by himself. He scores a lot of goals, but if he needs to be the goalie, he's going to take as many goals as he scored, and he will lose. So teamwork makes the dream work. Think about Messi being the Apostle Paul, and now all the names we're going to talk about is the other guys we don't know about it. But they are important. They're also champions. They're also winners because they are a team. Christianity is a team. This idea that I can be Christian by myself, no. We don't like that. Christianity is community. So let us read verse 7 to verse 9. Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He's a dear brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord. I am sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. He's coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here. Tychicus and Onesimus, okay? We're going to see first Tychicus, but I want you to keep in mind that I'm making them two duets. They are going together, Tychicus and Onesimus. Let us see Tychicus first. We just read about him, and I labeled him Secretary of State. So, very important for us to understand, why am I labeling him Secretary of State? Who is watching the news lately? Who doesn't like the news? I agree with you, but I need to watch, so I watch it. Do you know the guy named Anthony Blinken? Anthony Blinken, he is the Secretary of State of the U.S. Tychicus is the man who is giving this letter to the Colossians. I'll repeat this. Tychicus is giving the letter to the Colossians. And if I leave you only with that information, your first thought is to think about Canada Post. I don't know the guy of Canada Post. Neither do you. He doesn't know me. Because guess what? He comes, he drops the mail, and he is gone. So if I tell you that Tychicus is the guy giving the letter, that's what you're going to think. But that's not who he is. He is more likely to be Secretary of State. And what is the Secretary of State? What is Anthony Blinken saying? He goes to the Middle East. He meets with Qatar, with Israel, with some people who represent Hamas. And they say, I want ceasefire. If he says, I want ceasefire, it says that America, U.S. wants ceasefire. If he says, keep pressing on Hamas, it means that America wants, keep pressing on Hamas. Whatever Secretary of State says, it's implied that America is also saying. Does that make sense? But in America, there are some people who are protesting. But in America, there are some people who are against it. But in America, blah, blah, blah. Whatever Secretary of State says, it's whatever America is saying. Why is that important? Tychicus came and handed the letter. He talked about doctrines. He talked about false teacher. Now what he needs to do? He needs to act. False teachers, you're leaving. Good teachers, you're staying. This is what we are addressing. Christ is all in all. In Christ, all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form. Christ is sufficient. Salvation is only in Christ. Tychicus is the Secretary of State of the Apostle Paul and of Christianity. Other people gonna say blah, 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 but Tychicus gonna enforce the letter and gonna take action. And he's coming with Onesimus. To do a job like Tychicus is going to do, the person needs to be faithful. You see Onesimus here? I labeled him the forgiven one. And I want you to pay attention to this. He is coming with Onesimus, our faithful. Faithful. Who is Onesimus? For the sake of time, we're going to talk about him more in the next few weeks, because he is addressed in another letter called the letter to Philemon. But just that we know, Onesimus, he cheated his former master. He defrauded his master. And who is his master? Philemon. Who is Philemon? The guy who hosts this church. When you get to the door of the church, and the church was not a church, it was a house, who opens the door? Philemon. Who is coming to the door? Onesimus, the man who just defrauded him and ran away. Where did Onesimus run away to? He ran away to Rome. Who did he meet in Rome? Paul. Paul introduced him to another person way more important than Paul, Jesus. Onesimus is saved, repent, and now Paul is sending him back. What a friend we have in Paul. Do you know the song? Yeah. What a friend. He sends Onesimus back. Why? Because he was already forgiven in Christ. Now we want the situation also to be resolved in the church, in Colossians. But for me, it amazes me that in such a little time, Onesimus, who was a defrauder, who was someone who cheats his master, had such an encounter with Jesus that he becomes a faithful and dear brother. He's not a robber anymore. He's a faithful servant. Isn't that beautiful? So the church is the place of those kinds of people. People who are forgiven. Can you say amen? Who was forgiven? Amen. And people who are faithful. You give them something to do, they're going to represent the church well. Some others, when they leave the church and you're like, oh man, are they going to represent Emmanuel well? Are they going to behave in such a way that Emmanuel is well represented? More important than Emmanuel, that Christ is represented, Tychicus is that man. So the church is the place of those two kinds of people, and Paul calls them faithful, loyal, loyalty. Let us go to the next one. The next one, he is not by himself, but he's not a duet. Verse 10, my fellow prisoner Aristarchus sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You have received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. They're not together. It's not the same characteristic Paul is talking about. So let us see them separately. Aristarchus, voluntary spirit. Why do I know it's a voluntary spirit? Because he is definitely in prison. But he's not in prison because he committed a fraud. He's in prison because he voluntarily wants to be with Paul. And we can understand that two ways. One, he literally stays in the house of the Apostle Paul. Because first, this time that Paul is in prison, it's not the jail as we know the jail. It's a home prison. How do we call home prison? It's home prison. House arrest. That's the English term. He's house arrest. He stays at home, but he can't leave home. He stays at home and there is soldiers with him. Aristarchus want to be with him. Or Aristarchus want to visit him so often that looks like he's in prison. And so why does he do that? Because he wants to help Paul. Paul can't commute. Aristarchus can. Aristarchus bring people because Paul is preaching the gospel at home. So these people listen to the gospel. Aristarchus is that voluntary spirit. And also in church we have people who are voluntary spirit who plays music for us so that we can serve. We have people who prepares the snack and coffee for us so that we can have fellowship after the service. The church is a place of voluntary spirit people. Amen? Amen. Mark, the next one, there is a second chance. This Mark here is the same Mark that we read every time we open the second gospel. Gospel according to Matthew and gospel, the second one, according to Mark. This is the man. But you see that Paul, he gives further instructions about Mark. And why does he give further instructions about Mark? Because Mark first failed. Everybody remembers where Mark failed? Paul, Barnabas, and Mark, they went to do mission trip. First mission trip that the book of Acts record to us. And Mark, in the beginning of the trip, right in the beginning, he departed. He came back home. So only Barnabas and Paul kept doing the mission, not Mark. Second missionary trip, Paul is going again. Barnabas wants to come, but Barnabas wants to come only if Mark is in. And Paul says, if Mark is in, I'm out. So they departed. Barnabas and Mark went to Crete, to the left side. Paul and Silas go to the right side. This happened 12 years before this letter. Now, 12 years ago, Paul is writing, Mark is coming. I have instructions for him. He's useful and helpful. What does that teach us? It teaches us that in the period of 12 years, there was reconciliation, there was refocusing of mind, and Mark does get a second chance, and he does well. He does it well that he becomes useful to the Apostle Paul, and he does it well because we read Mark every time we read the second gospel of Jesus. Mark gets a second chance. Is the church a place of second chance? More than second chance, right? But we believe in the church, second chance, just like Mark. You get the second chance, you get the third, and you make it right. And you are born again, and you have a change of heart. We don't agree with enabling. Yeah, here comes a second chance. Yeah, here comes a third chance. Here comes a fourth chance. And the person's life, it's never transformed. That's not called second chance, that's called enabling. Does that make sense? Yes or no? Yes? Okay, good. So the church is the place of second chances. Mark got his second chance and he did it right. Next person we're going to see, this person is also alone. Jesus, the unknown one. There is the famous Jesus, our Jesus, and there is also the unknown Jesus. For us to know, Jesus was a common name, just like Luke, Matthew are very common nowadays. Jesus was a common name. And what the Bible says about this Jesus, the unknown one? Jesus, who is called Justice, also sends greetings. These are the only Jews among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, and they have proved a comfort to me. Not too much to say about Jesus the Justice. And in the church, we also have people who we don't see much, the unknown servants, but they are serving. Today, it's the 12th. Yesterday, we called the Remembrance Day. I don't know any veteran, not even one. They are unknown to me. But, listen to me, the veterans prove a comfort to me because they were fighting for my rights when they did what they did. Does that make sense? The Bible has so many warriors, spiritual warriors that we don't know. And to be honest, all of us are just unknown warriors of our faith that people don't know us, but we are there serving and standing for our faith. And what admires me about Jesus the Justice is that he's a Jewish man serving the Gentiles. He is a Brazilian pastor speaking English. He was in paradise, and now he is in the land that there is 12 months long of winter, because he loves the gospel, because he wants to break traditions, because he wants to serve no matter what's the cost. That's him. He's a Jew serving the Gentiles. Now, who is our next? Epaphras. And he's still alone. Later, we're going to see two duets that make a huge contrast. This is the final single person one we're going to be seeing. Epaphras, I labeled him the heart of a leader. When you study the letter to the Colossians, they think Epaphras is the pastor. Some people argue he is the pastor. Some others argue he is not. Which side do you believe I am? I am in the side that I believe he is not the pastor. Let us read and I'll tell you why. Epaphras, who is one of you and the servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. That's why. He didn't come back. He's sending greetings. If the pastor leaves the church and sends greetings, and he's never in the church, I don't believe he's the pastor. Does that make sense? I am the pastor. You expect to see me on a Sunday here, correct? If I'm in Brazil and sending greeting, what do you understand? Gustavo is on vacation. He's not the pastor. So that's why I do not believe he was the pastor, but he's the leader. He's always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. Everybody with me, I vouch. Let's do this again. One, two, three. I vouch for him that he is working hard for you and for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis. Why did I label him the heart of a leader? Why am I making you repeat the word I vouch for him? Because all of us, we have this human nature that we think that our leaders, our bosses, or whoever they're not doing a good job. Your parents are better than mine. My parents too strict. No, no good. My pastor too much blah, blah, blah. No good. Your pastor there, it's better than mine. Your elders and deacons, impossible. We have better elders and deacons and better organists than us. But the other ones are better. And Paul needs to address, because Paul knows it. Paul also gets people complaining about him. Paul also gets pressured. He's a leader himself. So he sees a leader. He sees how much Epaphras work behind the scenes. And he sends the letter and he tells in the letter, hey, Colossians, this man works for you. Hey, Colossians, you have no better leader, no better founder than Epaphras. I vouch for him. If I could choose someone, the Apostle Paul is saying, I would have chosen Epaphras. I vouch for him. Isn't that true? Or just I have this crazy heart, little bit needs Jesus. Isn't that true? That we need somebody to remind us, hey, your elders, your deacons, your leaders, your parents, they do work for your good. They are not perfect, definitely not, but we vouch for them. Can we hear an amen? Amen. Thank you, Leo. Thank you, Tony. Thank you, Tricia. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you, all of you. We vouch for you. The heart of a leader. Now we're going to see the contrast, as I told you, we're going to see with the next ones. Oh, yes, we're going to read. Oh, we separate there. So read from the Bible so we can see the two names together. You guys on the screen, it's fine. Verse 14. Our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas send greetings. Luke and Demas. Their name are together because there is a huge contrast here. First, we're going to talk about the doctor and historian Luke. And first of all, see that he is a doctor, but he became a historian. Because every time you read the Gospel of Jesus according to Luke, you're reading the works of this man. Every time you read the book of Acts, you're reading the works of this man. So he is a doctor, but he became a historian. But also, I love the fact that he is a doctor. Because depending on the theological belief you come from, you believe Jesus heals you, you don't believe you need a doctor. I have a friend. If I tell him I have a back pain, his hand come to me. And he goes to my back, be healed in Jesus' name. I show the pain, the hand come. And I'm Canadian. I don't like people to, you know, pass my boundary. No, I'm not. I'm joking. I hug everyone. He comes with his hand, be healed in Jesus' name. And I'm like, what do you think the name of Jesus is? It's like magic, or it's like a vending machine. Here, it's what I want, and I call it, and it happens. That's not what we believe. We do not believe the two extremes, that because you have Jesus as your healer, you don't need a doctor. We do not believe that. Why don't we believe that, Gustavo? Are you faithless? No, simply, in the team of the apostles, there was a doctor. Easy, easy, easy. And we also don't believe the other side. Yeah, Jesus lost his power. He would do it in the past, but he doesn't do it now. We do believe he does it now. Why are we praying for Tony's son? Because we do believe he heals it now. Jesus is our healer. There is a doctor in the team. Jesus is our daily bread. Jesus is our provider. Who still needs to go to the grocery? Who doesn't? Amen? Okay, good. And Demas now. Talking about controversial subjects, the best way to do it, it's doing laughing. Everybody gets the point. Good. Demas, desertion. Now, Demas sent greetings. The Apostle Paul has nothing to say about Demas. Let us understand why. You don't need to go, I'll go for you. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. Pay attention to my reading. Verse 10. For Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. Verse 11. Only Luke, that Luke, is with me. That's the final words of the Apostle Paul when he was in prison for the second time. Why there is nothing nice to talk about Demas here, but there was something nice to talk about Luke. Because most likely the Apostle Paul, already old, already experimented, experienced in his faith, he already saw in Demas that Demas' faith is a seasonal faith. That Demas' faith, it's only when things are good. Not rooted, not solid, not with Christ for real. And then nothing nice to say. Because if he had something too nice to say here in Colossians chapter 4, I can guarantee you he would have never need to write what he wrote in Timothy. Does that make sense? Because whoever is faithful in the little is also faithful in the much. Whoever you are at home, you are in the church, at work, and wherever you go. So Paul, experienced man, already know what Christianity is all about, already know the people he had in his team. He already saw some flaws, some situations in Demas that has nothing to, he had nothing to say, and later on it's confirmed by Demas deserting him. And in the church, do we have people who desert? Some people move church, some people leave the church to go to another church. That's fine. Some people leave the church because leaving a new place, change neighborhood. That's fine. But some people leave the church because they left the church. I don't want to know anymore. I may do my prayers, but I don't want to know anymore. Or not even my prayers anymore. I just disbelief. We have all of this. We have Dr. Luke, but we also have Demas. Big contrast. Loved one, faithful one, stay up to the end, Dr. Luke. Demas, just a seasonal faith. Just a good vibes, good moments faith. We have both in the church. And we need to work together. Final two people. Verse 15. Give my greetings to the brothers and sisters at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. After this letter has been read to you, see that it is also read in the church of the Laodiceans and that you in turn read the letter from Laodicea. Can we go to the next ones that we... Yes. And verse 17, tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the ministry you have received in the Lord. Another contrast here. It doesn't look there is a contrast, but there is. Let us check Nympha first. She's the host and the clerk of this church. She's not in Colossians, she is in Laodicea. Laodicea, Hierapolis, and Colossians looks like this. Whitby, Oshawa, Ajax. All same area, different cities. All near one another. And Nympha is the host because up to the 3rd century, there was no public service as we know today. The church would meet in the house, not in a public service. So this lady, it's a faithful lady, great lady, who is exposing herself even to the point maybe to be sued, to be persecuted, to be condemned because she's hosting a church in her house. But what amazes me, it's the contrast between her and Archippus. Because she's the host, she is the one who do the things in the church. She's not the leader of the church. She knows her place. I am only the host. I am only giving the space. Very, very easy illustration. When we go play soccer, there is always the guy who brings the ball. Without the ball, you can't play. Easy. And usually the guys who brings the ball, it's always the worst. Very bad. But because he bring the ball, he must play. Does that make sense? Nympha doesn't have that spirit. I'm bringing the ball, but you know, do your church. I'm not the leader. I'm hosting. I'm the clerk. I'm useful. I'm great. But I'm not the leader. Contrast. Archippus. his relative host the church of Colossians, Philemon. They're not sure if they're a son of Philemon or just a close relative, but all of us agree that they are family bounded, if not family bounded, very close relative. And Paul needs to tell him, hey, Nympha is doing a great job because she knows what she must do and she does it right. But you, Archippus, see to it that you complete the ministry you have received. You're acting just like you are the host, but I need you to be the minister. See to it that you place yourself in the place of leadership that it was entrusted to you. Don't run from it. Take charge of it. And this is the only man out of this letter that the Apostle Paul gives a prophetic word. What's a prophetic word? It's when the word of God comes to your heart and now you need to make a decision. Believe in Jesus Christ. It came to you. Now you need to make a decision. Turn away from your sin. It came to your heart. Now you need to make a decision. Now the Apostle Paul say, Archippus, make sure you accomplish the ministry that it was given for you. Don't let Philemon do everything. Don't let Epaphras do everything. You take hold, take charge. In my opinion, probably the pastor of Colossians, pastor these people. And now he needs to make a decision. Or he stay in the sideline, or he engages and do it all. Is that clear? So in the church, there is also the people who know their place and are thankful for. And there is the people who know where their place are and they run away from the place. We need help. Let someone else do. We need you to teach. Let someone else do. We need you to clean. Let someone else do. In the church, we have these two types of people as well. For us to wrap up, too many names. I know. But you can't complain with me. You need to complain with Paul. I'm joking. For conclusion, we saw particularly and individually. Now we're going to saw the role, the whole. Church is a place of all kinds of people. Church is a place of work. Church is a place of surprises. Here in Emmanuel, there are these 10 kinds of people. I hope not Demas. I hope not. But there are these 10 kinds of people. And we need to strive to be like Tychicus, like Luke, like Epaphras. Okay? But in this letter and in this church, there is these 10 kinds of people. And we need our heart to be the best ones. Second thing, the church's place of work. Illustration. If you stay at home, you're going to know there is work at home. You go to your full-time job, and you get home and you think you're going to rest. And you find out there is a full-time job waiting for you at home. Isn't that true? The church is the same. You come here, there is work. Don't approach me too much, Gustavo. I love to give work to people. Let us sing. Amen, you see? Let us prepare the food. Let us visit people. Pray for someone. Don't come close to me. I'll give you work because church is a place of works. I want a good amen now. We are not consumers. We are members of this church. Good. Church is a place of surprise. Bad surprise. Demas is gone. Bad surprise. We cannot trust Demas. Very bad surprise. But good surprise. Onesimus was a robber. Now he's a faithful servant. Onesimus was lost. Now he's a brother. Look, I thought you were a doctor. You're also a historian. Look, I thought you were a historian, but you're also a doctor. The church is a place of good surprise and bad surprise. And we also need to be aware of that. And we want to be what? The good surprise. Right? We don't want to be the bad surprise. Church is a place of all kinds of people, a lot of work, and of surprise. You may stand because we're going to finish the blessing, not with the normal benediction we have. I'm going to benediction us with the last verse. I, Paul, write these greetings in my own hand. Remember my chain. Grace be with you, Emmanuel. Amen.